Well, hello. It's good to be with you as we have this time to come together to meet with our Lord. And I hope these times are an encouragement to you, and I hope that they strengthen you. I hope that they help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. And as we have this time together with Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, for your desire for us to know you. Lord, for your desire for us to be close to you, to experience you. And Father, I pray as we're here that you'll open our minds and our hearts, Lord, to your word. Lord, that you'll open our hearts, Lord, so that we are prepared to hear from you. Lord, help us to know you better, to grow in your grace, to experience you more. Lord, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And some days we find that relatively easy. Maybe God answers a prayer for us. Maybe God does something out of the blue. Maybe things are just going our way, and we find it relatively easy to rejoice. But then there are those other days where it seems like nothing goes right, where you can't make a nickel, as we used to say, where you have an adversity or a heartache, some personal problem, some issue within your family, certainly as we look upon our nation today. But you know, even then, there's cause for us to rejoice in our Lord. As we come now to Psalm 18, it's one of my favorite psalms. It's relatively long, and yet as we look at this psalm, what's amazing is the context in which it was written. In fact, as we look at Psalm 18, we're actually going to begin reading the superscription. That is the inspired part, the inspired writing above the body of the psalm itself. Now, you probably have a study Bible that has some of the editor has written something over each of the psalms. But there's also over many of the psalms, an inspired superscription that tells additional information about the psalm. And you think about what David was inspired to write. Think about the setting of this as we look at the superscription. "For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this psalm in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." In other words, David looks back and he looks around and he sees all that God has done, and David rejoices. And as we look at this psalm, it gives us hope and gives us help as we go through circumstances in our life as to why we can praise the Lord, why we can rejoice in Him, why you can rejoice in Him even in this day. Now again, this psalm is very long. It's actually 50 verses. We're going to break it up over a couple of our times together, and even then, even in breaking it in half, so to speak, we're just going to look at a sample of verses. And I say sample because I don't want to make you think that any of these verses and any of these psalms are unimportant, but to try to give us a sample so that it'll just focus our mind and our heart upon the Lord. As we look at even a sampling of these verses, we see why we can and should rejoice today. As we look at this psalm, we see God's personal work, that is, His personal work in our life. Listen to verses 1 through 3. "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies." Did you hear how many times David used the word "my" in that passage? It was repeated. It was over and over. My strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, my shield, horn of my salvation, my stronghold. David knew that God was personally involved in his life. Child of God, God is personally involved in your life. God does not create us and then recreate us through salvation just to merely step back and then watch us go through problems and difficulties. We need to understand that God, while he certainly is, quote, up there on his throne, God the Father is on the throne, the Son is at the right hand of the Father interceding, but by His Spirit, He is present. He is with us. In fact, is as believers, He's come to live within us. God is personally involved in our life. God is with us every moment of the day. In every situation that you're in, God is with you. You probably have heard, probably read many times the old poem where someone, you know, talked about footprints along the seashore. And the gist of the poem was they looked back over their life and they saw two sets of footprints and how it showed God was always with them. And then there were sections, however, where there was only one set of footprints. And the person asked the Lord, you know, why did you leave me in those times? And the Lord said, I didn't leave you. That's when I carried you. The single footprint was His. God was always there. Believer, the Lord is with you right now. And He is personally working and personally involved in your life. You're not alone. You're not forgotten. You're not off His mind. God is not just up there. He is with you. And we can rejoice in God's personal work. But not only do we see God's personal work, but notice as well, we see God's powerful work. Think with me, and we'll drop down to verse 7, though again, verses 4 through 6, tremendously important. But I want us to see the power that God uses when He works in our lives. Look at what we see in verses 7 through 15. Somewhat of a long section to read, I know. But the beauty of it, the word pictures that are here are astounding. Because this is God powerfully working in the life of one of His children. David mentions how he prayed unto the Lord. And notice God, the way He moves. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling, and were angry, and were shaken because He was angry. Smoke went up out of His nostrils, and fire from His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under His feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and He sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His hiding place, His canopy around Him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before Him passed His thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent His arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At Your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Your nostrils. You think about that. Does that sound like a God who's only half-heartedly involved in the affairs of your life? Does that sound like a God who just kind of goes through the motions when you call upon Him? Does that seem like a God who does just enough to get by as He works in your life? Does that sound like a God who's in any way reluctant to work or move? No. Everything in that shows God pouring out His power, His strength, His presence, His nearness. Everything in there describes God's powerful work in our lives. And you think about it, what is it that such a God cannot do or accomplish? Nothing. Isn't that what the angel told Mary in Luke 1:37? For nothing is impossible with God. God's wonderful personal work in our life is based and is driven through His unlimited power. God's great, unlimited power. His powerful work in our lives. You know, the reality is, however big your problem is today, if you have one, and I'm not trying to diminish it if you do, no matter how great your problem is, God is greater. Years ago, when I was growing up, there was a Christian AM station near the town I grew up in, and their catchphrase they would use when they would announce their call letters on the hour, the little motto they have is that God is greater than any problem that you have. And believer, that is true. Whatever it is that you're facing, God is greater. And all that unlimited power that He has, He pours it into whatever the problem or the issue that you have. God's powerful work in our lives. But not only do we see that God is present with us, not only do we see the power that He unleashes in our lives and in our situations, we also see God's perfect work. Think of what we read now in verses 16 through 19. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. You think about what David is saying there. God's work in all of this brought me to a place that was absolutely perfect. God worked it out. David looked back on his life, all those years of running, all those years of hunting, of being hunted by Saul. And yet, he looks around and he's able to say, God, you have done a perfect work. You may be going through a very difficult time in your life right now, but believer, the day is coming, and if it's not in life, it'll certainly be in eternity, where we'll be able to look back and see and say, God, your work was perfect. Everything that you did was right. And one of the great elements or challenges we have in our faith is coming to that point where we grow in our faith well enough to come before the Lord of the situation and say, Lord, here it is. Have it. Because I know whatever you do will be perfect. It is yours. I remember the story of a man many years ago who was working on the Panama Canal when it was being dug. He had his family with him, and he was home one night trying to work on a problem that they were having there on the canal, going over all of his charts and diagrams and plans. And his young son was playing on the floor near him, and suddenly the young boy, you know, began crying because he had broken his toy truck. One of the axles had broken. And so he brought it to his dad to work on it, and his dad was trying to work on it, but the little boy wouldn't let go of it. He just kept trying to, you know, get with his little hands, get involved in the situation. And finally the dad said, son, I can fix it if you just let me have it. And sure enough, the little boy at that point let go of it, crying and scared and afraid of what would happen. And the dad very quickly was able to put it back together and gave it back to his son repaired. How many times are you and I like that little boy? We bring the situation to God, but we keep our hands on it, and God is not able to fix it the way he wants to fix it because we've got our hands there in the way. David looked back and said, Lord, what you did was right. And the day is coming if we give God the opportunity where we can look back and say, God, what you did was perfect. Believer, whatever it is you're going through, let him have it. His perfect work in our life. And so even if we're going through a time of difficulty, we can rejoice because our God is with us. He hasn't abandoned us. And he is working with all of his power. He's not just half-heartedly there. And if we give him the chance, we'll see that what he does is perfect. And even though we might be in the midst of a difficult situation, we can rejoice, maybe not in the circumstances, but in him. He is present. He is powerful. And everything he does is perfect. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you for your love for us and that, oh God, we can trust you. Father, thank you that you're with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You stick closer to us than a brother. You carry us in those times, oh God, when we feel all alone. You're actually there carrying us. Father, thank you, oh God, that you don't just half-heartedly work in our life, but you pour out your power in our life. And Father, we thank you that what you do is perfect. Lord, may we let you have it. Whatever it is for us today, oh God, may we let you have it. And may we see you work your perfection. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you are able to rejoice in the Lord today, even in the midst of trials. God is with you, and he's going to pour out his power in that situation to fulfill his perfect plan. And you'll see his perfection if you let him have it. Rejoice in him, and have a great day in the Lord.